Hey, what's going on?
Yeah!
Wait. I have to run up, right? Isn't that how it works? I don't have the big stage. I can't run up here, so. Hey, thanks for coming. You're probably wondering why I've invited you here. It's because this room was really cold without you, and now you're here to warm it. I mean, my nose is literally running. So, we're here to talk about from sketch to app. And just to set your expectations, we will be talking about Sketch the app, but the sketch being referenced here is actually hand sketching. Don't be afraid, it'll be okay. I know this is primarily a developer conference. How many designers would you say, I am primarily doing design work, okay? Because I would say, in my opinion, we are actually all designers, whether we think we are or not. But some of us work more primarily as designers. So I am David Ortnow. My company is Render. It's a two-person mobile dev shop. Come on in. Lots of good seats up here. These people are really nice. They're handing out cash.
Just
on the first row. Hey. So my partner Ben Bishop and I, we worked together for a long time as freelancers. We were working for a startup called This Life, which is a photo, video in the cloud thing. You may have heard of, has anybody heard of This Life? Anybody? Maybe one hand? Okay. Shutterfly acquired it a few years ago, and now it is the primary mobile and photos.shutterfly portal. So there's lots of good stories there, but you're not here to hear about that. I am a Xamarin MVP. I was in the first MVP class. Anybody else from the first MVP class? So I don't know what I did to deserve that, but it was awesome. I do love Xamarin, so that's probably why. But let's dive into this. So you saw this slide from yesterday morning's keynote, right? And it's a wonderful story of the Xamarin and now Microsoft story. From develop, test, build, distribute, monitor. They cover that whole thing. That's wonderful, right? My question is, what is to the left of develop, right? Because something happens before that. A lot of things happen before that. Somebody wakes up in the middle of the night with a dream. Maybe it was the bad pizza they ate, but they have an epiphany. Most of my ideas happen in a little porcelain room. The throne room, there you go. But there's a lot that happens over there, and that's a lot of what we want to talk about today. Not only what does that process look like to get you to the best results you want, but how do I most efficiently get what I need to do the develop part from the design part, okay? So let's dive in. I want to start with a big fancy long quote. Ultimately, we are deluding ourselves if we think that the products that we design are the things that we sell, rather than the individual, social, and cultural experience that they engender, and the value and the impact that they have. Design that ignores this is not worthy of the name. I want to reframe how we think about the products that we are working on, the code that we do. I like to say that code is not what we do, it's how we do, okay? What we are actually delivering is an experience. And it's an experience that has social and cultural ramifications for how you're going to interact with the customers that you deal with, if you are the user, how a user is going to interact with the people around them. It's not just the Snapchats and the Facebooks that are social. Everything has the potential to be social and have those ramifications for how it impacts our lives and how we live. So the man who said this, does anybody know who that is? Designers in the room, anyone? No. His name is Bill Buxton. He is principal researcher, fellow, I think is maybe part of the title, for Microsoft Research. He's famously known for helping to write a book or co-authoring a book called Sketching User Experiences. So an interesting fact about Mr. Buxton is that his initial background is as a computer scientist. And so he is a very technologically minded individual, but most of his influence is in the design realm. So to say that your computer science or your design, I just wanna, that's doesn't have to be that way. I primarily pay the bills by writing code. That's what people are, that's what's being billed. But what I'm actually delivering is user experience. And so I challenge you to think broader than just the tasks that you're doing and think more holistically about what you're delivering. Okay. So here's, in a high level, the workflow as we like to see it. You start with sketching. We often will start with paper. Paper and a pencil, very informal. Whatever you have at hand, use it. Put your ideas down, start iterating on that. And then we move into a wireframing step where we're going to start doing more implementation. And then we move into a prototyping phase. These next two are prototyping, and we'll talk about what products we like to use as well as some alternatives to those products. And then eventually you're going to need to get your assets to the development team so that they can more easily, you know, implement the multiple DPIs, the colors, did they get the font right, is the spacing correct, all that sort of thing. This last product called Zeppelin is going to be very useful there. Who's heard of Zeppelin before? Okay, handful. All right, good. In talking to people leading up to this talk, I was excited to see how few people knew about it, so I think you'll be pleasantly surprised. What we want when we think about this process is we want this. This is the beautiful end result that we get to put in our marketing pieces. This is the story we get to tell about how successful we were. It's beautifully designed, right? And it's isometric so that everybody loves it. So this is an example of an app that we have built internally at Render, and I'm going to use this throughout as an example of our process, so you'll be seeing more of that. So let's get into sketching real quick, because I primarily want to spend time talking about Sketch app and the actual production pipeline. So sketching from a fundamental process. Again, Bill Buxton helps us out here because he has so many good things to say about sketching. The fundamental thing about sketching is that it is about asking, not telling. So when we're sketching, we want to be asking questions. How could this look? How maybe should this look? What is the most important information to have here? You're exploring things. And one of the most important things about sketching is it's about fast and quick iteration. So you don't want to spend too much time on it. You want to keep moving. And then another quote from, if you want to get the most out of a sketch, you need to leave big enough holes for the imagination to fit in. And that is, yet again, Bill Buxton. I would have picked multiple people to quote, but he just has so many good ones when it comes to this. So when you're in the sketching process, and you're just trying to get some ideas out, and you're trying to explore, you want to really cast off the limitations, pretend like somebody else is going to have to build it and it's not your problem. Okay? That's a great way to think about it. I come from a creative software background, meaning that just like Grant Imahar was talking about this morning, most often when clients would come to me and ask me to build something, it had never been built before. For a long time, I was doing Flash development and design work, which is a strong hybrid, and there was no component set. There was no list view. That stuff didn't exist. I mean, you were building it all from scratch every single time. Eventually, some things came around and sped us up a little bit. But when you're sketching and you leave big enough holes, then imagination can grow. And new ideas can come out of that that you never really even imagined previously. So it's an excellent side benefit. Now, if you're like me and you think about sketching, you think about somebody who has some artistic talent. Right? Somebody who can do some pretty cool stuff, and you look at this, and you know, a lot of infographics kind of tend toward this style right now. It's pretty cool. I couldn't do this. My face would look horrible. My handwriting would not be near as legible as this. I would hope that I could achieve something more like this, and from a mobile sketching standpoint, this is more of what you're heading towards. But even this is way cleaner and nicer than anything that I have to offer, because my sketches look like this, right? So I don't even bother writing words. I just a bunch of squiggles. You know, there's going to be like a headline here, and then there's going to be a renderer, and there's going to be some text here. You know, and then even my comments. Like, I don't know that I can read those comments. It's like record context, filter or sort by focus. You know, I just start writing random ideas down. This is from actually a different app that I have, which I eventually built, called How You Say. This is available in the iOS and Android stores. Works with the Apple Watch. But essentially all this is it's a language journaling app. So if you go to an area and you're going to try to learn that language, they typically will speak a very specific dialect, especially if you're in certain parts of Europe. And so if you want to be able to not only be understood on the street, but you don't want to get laughed at for saying the wrong thing, then this will help you because you get to actually interact with a local speaker, have them record how to actually say something, and you kind of get that cultural experience as well. So this was beautiful, but this started out as that, you know? So this is me working through some sketches for some ideas on how I can accomplish some multimedia things at the bottom of the screen. All right, so how many of you have done the egg drop exercise? Okay, yeah. So this study's been done several times before. And essentially the way the study goes is you have two groups. You have the control group who is going to work on, the egg drop principle essentially is you're gonna drop the egg from as high as possible, it's a raw egg, and try to make sure it doesn't crack, okay? So the control group, they're gonna build one whatever to try to protect that egg, and they get one chance to drop it. And it's a time-blocked exercise, okay? So you only have maybe 30 minutes to do this, or let's say an hour. So you have the control group, and then the other group, they are told that they can make as many as they want, and they can test dropping them as many times as they please, okay? So who do you think had the better results on not cracking the egg? The control group that only did one, or the iterative group that did many, many, many prototypes? The latter, the iterative group. My son's class, he's now in eighth grade, but when he was in seventh grade, they did a project where they designed cars, and then they had in their lab a wind tunnel, small wind tunnel, where they could measure drag, and they did exactly the same thing, where they were able to iterate over it and get better results. So moral of the lesson here is, iterate. Don't get stuck on one idea. Keep moving forward. Think of an alternative thing. Ask. Could this possibly work? Could this possibly work? Because when you're at this stage, and especially the sketching, and then once you get into the wireframe stage, super cheap to change that stuff. There's no architecture, there's no MVVM cross, there's no dependency injection. I mean, you don't have any of that stuff to move around and change pieces to. It's paper. You can keep messing with it. So one thing that I do want to also bring up, and now seems like a fine time, is at what point do you introduce users to this process? At what point do you show something to them and start getting feedback? And I don't think that there's a really good hard and fast rule. In the same way that every project that we do, we don't always use a wireframing stage. Sometimes we jump straight into a prototype if we have a really good idea of what we're gonna do. It's not like this is a process and the goal of this is to do the process. The goal is not to do the process. The goal is to have a better understanding of what the user experience is going to be and to better validate that you're meeting the needs of your user, right? So it's not just about a deliverable of a wireframe by a milestone. If that wireframe or that sketch doesn't meet the needs of understanding better who you're building for and what you're building and what you could possibly do for them, then that milestone is gonna come and you're gonna deliver, but you're not gonna end up with a better product, right? Who's with me? It's like, yeah, I agree with that. Okay, so we will bring in users to validate our stuff. I mean, we do it very informally. You know, we grab somebody at Starbucks because we're a fully remote team. It's fantastic if you have like a user experience lab in your area where you can go rent some people and put them in an environment and get that kind of feedback. But we will do it just informally, show them a prototype or show them a wireframe or show them a sketch. And we have specific questions in mind. But more so than the questions we have in mind, we want to put something in front of users that they can use and we can observe, okay? So I like to say that observed behavior trumps everything. It trumps the answers to the survey you sent out. It trumps what the person told you when you interviewed them. If their behavior shows you something different than what they told you, you trust the behavior more, right? You follow that. Because often, and there are lots of studies on this, you can demonstrate that people will do things differently than they think they do them. what I say is not necessarily what I do, right? Mom used to say that, do what I say, not what I do. All right, so quickly, a couple tips for useful sketching. Don't sweat the implementation, dream. In this phase, you should be dreaming. You shouldn't be worried too much about, well, I can't do that because the way the list view works or the way the UI table view works or whatever. Don't worry about that yet. Dream a little. Pretend like it's somebody else's problem. Go through the exercise for multiple variations and expect some surprises. Ideo, which is a famous design company, they do a lot of their sketching and things like that with sticky notes, and they put it on whiteboards. They shoot for volume, not quality. Quantity, not quality. When they get into some of their exercises, and treat it as an exercise. Say, I'm just going to do this, and allow yourself to be surprised by what comes out of it, because you will get some solutions that you may not have thought of initially. If you just get that, especially when you have a pet idea, you're like, this is the way to do it. Get that idea out of your head and then allow yourself to move on to, well, let's see what another idea is. Because you're not committing to it. It's just a little piece of paper. And then at the end of the process, expect to have a lot of questions that need answering and expect to have assumptions that need validating. Don't feel like the outcome of this part of the process is to have things solved. Think of it as, when I come out of this process, I'm expecting to have questions to be answered, and how am I going to get those answered? What's the best way to do that? Is it a wireframe? Does that step make most sense with the people that I'm dealing with and the scale of the project? And you know, we often, just from a budget billing question type standpoint, because I get asked this question a lot, well, how do you charge for this? I don't care. Sometimes I don't charge for it, because this is valuable for me to do. This is part of my process. They may think they are buying hours of time from me, but what they're going to judge me based on, and they being clients and eventually end users, they're judging me based on the experience that's delivered. Did I deliver value to them with the experience that I have, with the quality of what I did, with properly understanding the users? Very rarely have I ever had a client that I can even think of say, oh man, we were expecting 120 hours and you took 150 hours, that's not good. Obviously, I want to make sure I'm covered for my time, but all right, let's move. My favorite tools. I like the Rhodia dot pad. Super expensive on Amazon. It's like 15 bucks, 20 bucks, something like that. The Pentel pencil comes with a kit. If you order a kit from uistencils.com, if you really want to have something more like this pad of paper here. So that's pretty convenient. They sell nice kits. It comes with stickers, so you get stickers. So that's awesome. So, yeah, oh, you've got it on your, yeah, nice, yeah, I got, yeah. Here, right there. Actually, I removed one of them to make room for my new sticker. What are you gonna do? So I do wanna make one other comment about sketches before we move on to wireframes. So, from a developer standpoint, there is value in sketching as a developer with code, okay? So whether you're using sketches in Xamarin Studio or you're using the new workbook stuff, which is really cool, feel free to explore ideas through code. I've done this before to sketch out interaction ideas for how I was going to sort things when I was working on This Life in Shutterfly. It was very useful for me to explore some ideas. And the important thing being, you can't set up a really laborious architecture here. You know what I'm saying? Like, if you feel like to set up a sketch, you have to somehow set up your whole DI framework, that's probably not worth your while. So keep it super simple, and this is a great format to do that. All right, so quick advertisement. So Render, we're launching Brax. We're just launching it now. It's short, quick, to the point, 5 minutes or less, video screencasts, okay? So it's not Xamarin University, you're not gonna get certified. We're just gonna try to find the most important stuff that you're interested in and try to tell you just what you need to know. So we've got 4 contributors right now that are putting together screencasts. We've got, over 100 at this point, and we just got rolling. It covers Xamarin, Xamarin Forms, Objective-C, Swift, and Java. We have 3 or 4 that cover the new workbook stuff. We'll be adding more for sure, Xamarin Forms as well. Special offer for you. If you go to brax.tv/evolve16, we're gonna give you the first 3 months of subscriber fees free. So currently it's free for everybody, but as soon as we do start charging, if you've signed up with this code, you signed up off that link, then you're gonna get it free. Cool? You didn't know you were getting free stuff when you came, did you? Who likes free? All right. And that's the sticker you got. If you didn't get a sticker, please come see me or see someone in the back. There are stickers. All right, so let's talk wireframes real quickly. So for me, this is a wireframe. I think for most people, you would agree this is a wireframe. So the important thing here is that you're going to start exploring the implementation details. You're going to start looking at where things could possibly be laid out. You're thinking about controls. So a good tool for us has been Balsamiq. Balsamiq mockups, yeah. So we've used it for a long time because it originally was in the Flash community, so it was a no-brainer for us. There are still some other great tools out there, which I'll highlight in a minute. Whatever works for you, use that, right? It's not about the tool per se, it's about the process and getting the outcomes that you need. I keep beating that drum, don't I? So you'll see here, you know, I've got a big X that represents that I'm gonna have an image in the background. I've got some icons that are starting to be implemented, so there's some design detail, but I'm not getting hung up on that, okay? If my wireframe is just dots, that's getting me closer to an implementation, and that's working for me. Nice thing about Balsamiq is you can actually start turning this stuff into a clickable PDF, so it gets you yet one more step closer to something that you can start getting some user feedback on. So implementation is one of the things you're gonna start looking for here. I start looking also at information architecture stuff. So I start looking for, okay, what's my information? Am I gonna have a poster image? Am I gonna have some text? Is this going to stack up properly? Does it flow properly from a hierarchical standpoint? The most meaningful stuff is where I need it to be. Is it gonna make sense? And we internally start having lots of conversations over this, usually over a lot of coffee at a Starbucks table. You know, does this make sense? Is this what we wanna do? What really needs to be here? A lot of those conversations start to get fleshed out, or those answers and those questions get fleshed out. And then we also start looking at the activity flows. So activity flow design is one of my favorite things because to think about how you go through doing something is really important. Not just can you accomplish the task, but what's the experience of accomplishing that task? Does it flow properly? Does it make sense? Early on, in developing this application, we showed an earlier version of this to a user in a Starbucks, actually. I should be getting some Starbucks kickback for all this Starbucks stuff. Every time. Right? Every time. One grande Americano. So we watched her use an early prototype of this, and as she was going through this flow of adding a goal, maybe I should give you just a little bit of context of what this app is. It's called Minder. It's essentially, I want to achieve some goal in my life, to be healthier, to be more fit, to be happier, to be less stressed out. And then we present you with some pre-curated activities that we think might help you get closer to that goal. And so within each activity, there's going to be multiple steps that we encourage you to do. So for example, for me, this is something I implemented in my personal life. I wanted to build a running habit. I wanted to have, obviously, the byproducts of better health and things like that, because goals tend to be way up here, right? And if you focus too much on the goal, it's kind of unattainable. So you have to break it down into smaller and smaller pieces that are attainable. So for me, getting up and going running, I could never do it. I was sabotaged because coffee was the first thing I drank in the morning, and that messed up my body. My body's like, you don't want to go anywhere. I would start working immediately. So one of the things that I did, one of the steps that's in on building a running habit, is set your shoes out at night before you go to bed. Set your running clothes out with your shoes so that they're right by the bed. So when you get up in the morning, the first thing you put on is your running clothes. So now you've just removed one of the barriers for you running out the door or wherever it is you're gonna go, right? Has anybody else tried this? Yeah, does it work for you? Yeah, yeah? So figure out what your barriers are, remove them. So that's essentially what this app is. So what this flow starts to do, and it's not completely sequential, but it's for you setting up one of your goals and one of your activities. There's also flows for setting up a custom goal and a custom activity, customizing the steps that go along with the activity that you want to do. But this isn't even what this ended up looking like, okay? The design really went in some different directions. Some of this stayed, but some of it left. So we started to at least experiment with and understand better what's necessary. When I get to this screen, what do I need to be able to do? I need to be able to go backwards. Okay, I need to be able to cancel. I need to be able to add something. How am I going to know that that thing is editable? How do I know I can touch on that sort of thing? Some of those things started to become important at this stage. So again, our favorite tool, Balsamiq. It's very useful. You can also do some prototyping, or I'm sorry, some wireframing and some of the other tools that we'll talk about. Some that you also might want to look at other than Balsamiq. I like Balsamiq because it's just stinking easy. It has pretty decent components. You can just drag and drop them in there. It's good to go. Other tools you may want to consider for this, Proto.io, mockups, UXPen. I think Pop was another one that might be useful for some wireframing. That does a nice kind of, you kind of want the squiggly. Here's another thing about wireframing. You still want it to be pretty low fidelity if you show it to anybody, so that they don't get the impression that you're trying to show them a finished product. At least the client, they don't get freaked out like, this is what you built, this is horrible. But it also, it keeps you from getting hung up on stuff. I will say, however, that when you do show stuff that is incomplete and doesn't look polished, some users get hung up on that. You know, they're like, well, why doesn't this look done? What are you asking me to do? So, you know, as the person trying to get the feedback you want, you kind of just have to work through those things. I don't really have any great advice on that. It's more of a people skill thing, so. All right, prototyping. So when we're prototyping, we love to use Sketch for building out our prototypes and our designs. Sketch is also a good tool for doing wireframing. They have wireframing themes. There's nothing to prevent you from doing some squiggly line stuff. But we use this not only as our prototyping design tool, but it ends up being our production design tool. We work with design partners as well, because technically we're just developers. But our design partners are now more and more starting to use Sketch, which we really appreciate, because it just the whole workflow just goes more seamlessly. And then for the prototypes, we like to use Envision. So one thing that I will say is that a lot of these other tools that I have mentioned, you can accomplish prototyping with them as well. Proto.io has some straight to prototyping. I mean, obviously the name, Proto.io, it's in the name. So there's a lot of crossover and bleed. Find out what works for you. But we're going to dive more into Sketch right now. Cool? Who has used Sketch? All right, so quite a few. Who is here because you really want to learn Sketch? All right, cool. I think you will all be pleasantly surprised with Sketch. All right. And Sketch wants me to update. And what do you do right before a presentation? You do not update. That thing's been nagging me for like a day and a half. All right. So what you're looking at here on the left-hand side of the screen are my pages. And so a page, for me, represents a section of screens. I tend to group them by what's going on. So currently I'm on the plan page. So when you are creating a plan for your goal and your activities, these are the screens that you're going to be interested in. You can lay them out any way you want to. I tend to lay them out based on flow of how I see them working together. So I can kind of see left to right what's my flow looking like. But you can completely do that any way you want to. Whatever is going to make sense for you, you can totally do. So down the top of the left side is the pages. And then below that, once I'm on the plan page, those are all the different screens or artboards that I'm going to be working with. So a couple cool navigation things. To zoom out on everything, it's a command one. I don't have any shortcuts up on the screen. I apologize for that. And then once I select a page, I can command two. Just to zoom right in on it, which is really convenient. So anytime I want to add something, I'm pretty much going to use the insert. There's probably some shortcuts for this, but I tend to point and click a lot more than I should. When I'm in an IDE, I like to do keystrokes. Save the repetitive stress injuries for somebody else, right? All right, so you know, obviously this is a pretty well-designed thing. Everything, for the most part, is vector in here. So all my lines, all my circles. So what's really nice about vector is that it's numbers. So it scales very easily, I think, as most of you know. So when it comes to dealing with my multiple resolutions, I'm going to be able to get what I need from that artwork. Obviously, the image in the background is a bitmap. So What we end up doing, and as you can kind of see this, my screens are built out at different heights, right? And so you're kind of might be wondering, well, why do you have different heights? My screen is not that height. This ends up becoming really, really useful when you end up taking it into InVision, because in InVision, now I can scroll something like this long one in the middle. I can now scroll that. One of the main things you're going to want to utilize as you are building out a sketch file are symbols. So let me find a symbol here. If it's not a symbol, I can make it a symbol. Yeah, I think that's a symbol. Actually, I wanted to do this. We'll come back to it. All right, so we've got this symbol here, okay? So within here, well, that's not a symbol, is it? I will make it a symbol. You can't stop me. So essentially what a symbol is, it's a reusable piece of something, right? So anytime that I do this, I can reuse this piece over and over and over again. And there are still some things that are customizable within the symbol, so that's very nice. So for example, that text I can change. So let's call this this is a goal. We can call it a renderer. I can't read it anyway, so. Renderer. All right, so now that I have that, now when I click into it, I have an instance. Okay, so this is one instance of that particular thing. I have some options here as well. Actually, on the left-hand side here, you see symbols. It kicked me into symbols. So actually, if I back out here, you can see all the different symbols that I'm using within this particular sketch document. So all this stuff's reusable. Now, the nice thing here, if I go back to my layout, is that I've got this, and if I duplicate this and create another one, but I want to change the title, then if I select this over on the side here in the sidebar, you can see that, I can start overriding those text boxes so I can give it different name. So whatever makes it better, man, and get chill. So there it is over there. Get chill, whatever makes it better, man. Right? Cool? Yeah. I didn't make it, I just use it. That's what I'm missing. Pages, layers, symbols. See, I had notes down there. I'm like, man, what am I forgetting? All right, so symbols with images and text. Okay, so you can do some exporting. I want to cover exporting in a little bit. You can copy SVG code out of here, which is pretty awesome. So who's using SVG in your projects? Yeah? Quite a few. Okay, cool. I actually haven't been, but you can do it, so it's pretty nice. Cool. So let's move on to... So that's a little bit, we're going to come back to Sketch and show you a few more things, but I want to move on to InVision. So with InVision, InVision's a web-based tool. So what you end up doing is you end up selecting, I can select individual artboards or I can select them all. So let's say that I were to select, you know, these, and I'm like, I need to update these in my prototype. Then I have a plugin here for Sketch Export. You have no idea how small this is on this little screen. No, that's not it. Sketch Export. Oh, whatever. It's up there somewhere. Sketch Data. Oh, man. I don't know. There's a Sketch plugin that allows me to export it. Seriously, it's so small here, I can't read it.
I don't understand. Seriously, it's so small. But I could search the web for it.
Is there something I can do for you? Does that happen to you guys? That's hilarious. Apple just wanted to interrupt. All right, so you export your artboards from here. You get them into InVision. And they show up in InVision like this. So this is your main dashboard for all the different pages that you've got going on. So what I'm going to want to do now, because I want to turn these into interactive bits, okay, that I can then see on my phone. I was actually speaking to a high school coding club, and I showed this to them the other day, and they were completely blown away. I mean, they were high school kids, but they were still really impressed. So you should be similarly impressed. So let's take a look at this. So I've got a couple screens actually I've already got open, so let's jump over here. So for example, this is the home screen with some data populated. Down here, I'm in preview mode. If I come over here, I can be in build mode. As soon as I'm in build mode, you remember these little guys? Who used front page back in the day, right? Who's drawn their fair share of image maps? Yeah, that's exactly what's going on. So you're essentially just gonna draw some image maps. So these are the buttons or the things that are clickable, because essentially what's in the background here is just a PNG, JPEG, whatever. It's just a solid image. There's nothing interactive about the image itself. So if I click on this button up here, out to the side, it pops out and says, okay, what are we gonna link to? I wanna go to the goal featured page. So that's what it gives me the option. I have several other options. I can do an overlay, which is a new feature. Previous screen, next screen. So you have some quick things, but usually you're gonna end up going to another screen that you target down here. What gesture are you looking for? It has quite a few gestures, tap, double tap, swipe. And these are all pretty well respected on your phone when you get to try it out. And then what's the transition need to be? I wanna make sure that when I hit this, it's gonna push left, right? So save that when you're good to go. I'll go back to preview real quick and we'll just see how that works. So you can share this out with people in a browser session, and they can click around in the browser session as well. This is gonna go back and forth. So you get that nice animation. It's not overselling the animation, which I appreciate. So it's not setting you up for some fancy animation that's super hard for you to implement as a developer. It's all good. That's an out-of-the-box transition. If you click anywhere on here, those hotspots kind of come up, so it's a good indicator to the person that you're showing this to who may not know anything about this tool, that this is pretty quickly gonna tell you where to click. And what I love about this is, the first thing somebody's gonna do when they come to the website or to their mobile app is they're gonna tap on something. If they tap on something that's not a button, what's gonna happen? It's gonna say, no, that's not a button, but these are buttons. That's good user experience right there. All right, so a nifty trick for when you want to scroll. So you saw how I had some taller layouts, and so now I can achieve this, but how does it know to scroll the bottom list but to leave everything else all alone? Hello, go back. So what you do is in build mode, you have this little slider over here. And with this slider, I can tell it where my header is. And it gives me a nice little zoom so I can kind of get it pretty close to pixel perfect. And so what that means is that everything that's up here that's the header is gonna stay fixed, and everything below now is going to scroll up under it. And it knows that I wanna use an iPhone for the frame that I'm using, so it's only gonna show stuff in the iPhone anyway. If I don't do this, and I put this whoop, all the way back up at the top, and then I preview it, as you would expect, the whole thing scrolls, okay? Now something, yes, I know, you thought I clicked. I really wasn't. So what we actually implemented in the end build of this is a parallax scroll where the top header, which you see being fixed, parallax scrolls away as you scroll that form up. Android does a nice job of this pretty much natively, but on iOS, you kind of have to do some work for it. So as it scrolls away, things change, move up into the header, and it locks down kind of at that header space that you would expect. But the list kind of takes over at that point, and as you pull back down, it pulls down the header. So some of those things you're not going to be able to accomplish in a prototyping tool like this. I wouldn't worry about it. Again, the question is not am I being as faithful to what I'm actually delivering as possible, but am I going to get an understanding of the user experience well enough to know that I'm on the right track, that I'm answering the questions that need to be answered about what I'm building, so that before you get to that development phase, you have reasonable certainty that what you're about to build is on target, it's strategically aligned, you're gonna get all the praise that you hope and dream for at the end of the project, right? All right, so I'll kind of wrap up this real quick with this awesome feature here. Who wants to give me your phone number? Yeah, what's your number? 267 334 2146. All right, man. Everybody got it? I did read it out loud, didn't I? That probably wasn't the nicest thing to do. Did you get it, or do I have to hit it again? Oh, you got it. Okay, so he just got a link, and he's going to be able to go to his home screen, and he's going to be able to experience this whole flow, this thing on his phone. It does it as a web view with Safari, but it puts it on your home screen, so it gets rid of the Chrome and everything. Same thing works on Android as well, so you can kind of get a vibe for how that's going to go. You can do the same thing with some of the links down at the bottom, which are covered up by a clock that's telling me I have 4.5 minutes left. But let's quickly skip forward. Not skip, but we're just going to move forward. If anybody wants to, this is the link to this prototype. If you'd like to experience this prototype for your very own self, I will warn you, it is a prototype. So you will find yourself going down dead-end alleys and finding infinite loops in the navigation and stuff like that. But that's okay, right? It's just a prototype. Chill out. Get chill. All right. Everybody done taking a picture of that? Almost? Cool. All right, so Zeppelin, really quick. We got 3 minutes and 40 seconds to talk about Zeppelin. So here's what Zeppelin does. Zeppelin allows us, oh, this isn't Zeppelin, that's Sketch Plugins. Sketch Plugins are awesome. You need to check out Plugins. We have to talk about Zeppelin because it's really awesome. Some of our favorite plugins are here. I will post all this online so you guys can totally check this out. Basically, if you want to use Font Awesome, if you want to use icons in your designs, a lot of that stuff is plugins. It's an easy little scripting language. You can make your own. Developers in here, you love to hear that, right? Make your own. Contribute them. This app right here actually is a Sketch Toolbox, and you can use this just like a NuGet search. Find what you want. You can go view the GitHub to see who's using it, if it's popular or not, and if you want to add it to your stuff. So those are some of our favorites. I was introduced to Craft yesterday by my good friend over there. Andrew, was it Andrew? It's a sweet tool, provides a lot of value for adding image placeholders, text placeholders, duplicating things across your screen. So if you need five of something, it'll just boom, 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 lay it out for you and everything. So here's the thing, Sketch is Mac only. Bummer, right? So what is a good alternative? I know you're all asking this question, and if you have ever done a Xamarin University quiz, you're familiar with this. The answer to this question is none of the above. If you know of one, I'd love to hear about it, but I haven't found anything. All right, so production really quick. What we're looking for from a production standpoint is we're looking for design parity between our platforms. We want to easily generate the styles and the style guides. We want to have access to the layout details, so as a developer, I don't have to open up design files and guess what I'm supposed to be doing. I want it to be straightforward for me. I want to reduce the pain from the multiple resolution thing. I want to be able to communicate what the interactions are supposed to be. Which way is it supposed to slide? Is it supposed to pop up or pop down? So within Sketch, what you end up doing for this asset part of things is you define your exports for all the different assets you're going to do. So with this, it becomes very simple for you to be able to then hit the export button and export that asset to all those different resolutions. Okay? One button, all the resolutions. You can also export all of your profiles for all of your assets all at once from Sketch if you wish to do that. And this will export them all for your Android and for your iOS. I have not found a very good Android solution for sorting the multiple resolutions into subfolders, but hey, there's a script for that. I'll share this, there's a link down there. You're not gonna retype that. So you wanna see Zeppelin, I've got 45 seconds. You guys got 45 seconds to see this? Yeah. My wife's like, don't go over. Don't talk too much. That's not Zeppelin. Zeppelin, no, that is Zeppelin. Okay, so Zeppelin, these are all my screens, very similar to what you saw in Envision. When I open one of these, I can now mouse over everything. I can select it. You can see exactly what your positioning is. On the right-hand side, you can see what font it is, what size it is. You can see what the color is supposed to be. You can do all these amazing things. You can go to the style guide. The style guide will tell you what all your colors are. If you're using Swift or Objective-C, you can get some code snippets to help you out. I am talking to them, and they are very open to adding Xamarin support. So that will be very nice. If you come back here real quick, I'm out of time, but one last thing, and you pick an asset that you need to download. Well, let's pretend like that's one. You can quickly access and download on the right-hand side all three assets that are created for this. So that's three different resolutions for that particular asset. And you can also get a PDF version of it because it is vector. The nice part is if you export that into your XC assets folder of your iOS project, it will automatically create your image assets for you with the content.json. If you were using Objective-C or Swift, it would also update the Xcode project. So you wouldn't have to be moving files around. Your project file would just automatically update. So hopefully we can get Zeppelin to do that as well for Xamarin Studio. I've spoken with Joseph. Joseph's on board, so we're good to go. All right, that's my time, guys.